Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in for another broadcast of Boots on the Ground. We are so pleased to have each and every one of you with us again this Monday. For those of you who are just tuning in, because I've seen some new numbers, unfamiliar numbers pop up on the screen, we just want to say welcome, welcome, welcome. We are so glad you've taken out time out of your schedule to listen in to us. Boots on the Ground is hosted by Walking Into a New Life. I am the executive director, Joyce Kyles. And for those of you who are not familiar with Walking Into a New Life, our organization's mission is, of course, to stop domestic violence and help stabilize victims through a series of projects, programs, and initiatives that we host throughout the year. And so Boots on the Ground is our way of being able to bring our listening audience more information about the social issues that matter to you. So while our focus is primarily with domestic violence and sexual assault, we know that there are many, many, many other social issues that need to be addressed. Misconceptions need to be cleared up. Tangible resources need to be made and put in place and be executed out to those individuals who need those services. So whether your issue is with domestic violence, sexual assault, human trafficking, it may be homelessness, it may be poverty, or in the instance of our special guest tonight, it may be with reproductive issues and reproductive justice, maybe with policy. So whatever your cause is, we talk about it on this show, and we leave our listeners with the opportunity of knowing that people care, that tangible resources are available, and that you are not alone in your walk. And so this week, I am so very pleased to have with us a young woman who I've gotten to know professionally and personally, and I know that her heart is sincere when it comes to the work that she does. She has a passion for it, a real spirit about it, and she is a Chicago native like myself, and we are both here now in the South doing the work in an effort to reach individuals, organizations, businesses throughout the country. So without any further ado, let me present to some and introduce to others none other than Ms. Sharice Scott, founder and executive director of Sister Reach. Sharice, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
I am well. How about yourself?
I'm good, but if I don't clear up this particular thing, my mother is going to get me. I am a Detroit native who used to live in Chicago, so I know my mother is listening today, and she's going to say, I know that you love Chicago, and I know that you always rep Chicago, but you better rep Detroit. So I definitely am a Detroit native, and I have, but I lived in Chicago long enough to where many people thought I was a Chicago native, so I still love the Chi. I'm so glad to be here in Tennessee doing the work that I do now.
All right. Well, now that we have that misconception cleared up, and of course, we're going to give a shout out to Soul. But, you know, one thing is we are both from the North, and we can both attest personally and professionally that things are a lot different up North than they are in the South with the way certain things are handled. And so I really want at this time for you to just take a few minutes out to let our listening audience know a little bit about who you are and about Sister Reach and how and why you came into this work. So for the next few minutes, the floor is yours.
Absolutely. So Sister Reach is a reproductive justice organization that I founded in October 2011. So we'll be almost 5 years old. We'll be 5 years old this year in October. And we support the reproductive autonomy of women and girls of color, poor women, rural women, and their families. And we do that through a framework called reproductive justice. Our mission is definitely to empower women and girls to lead healthy lives, raise healthy families, and live in healthy communities. And we do that by different things, but absolutely centering comprehensive reproductive and sexual health education and making sure that women and teens have access to that. We advocate on local and state levels for public policies that support the reproductive health and rights of all women and youth. So we do that, you know, by community dialogues. We use civic engagement, faith community engagement strategies, talking to legislators, advocating, you know, sometimes with the actual advocates themselves and on behalf of them, just to shift the conversation around what reproductive justice truly looks like for women and girls. And then I'm using a particular word. I recognize that folks may not understand what reproductive justice may mean, but basically it's a human rights framework that Black women came up with a little over 20 years ago that would definitely support every woman's human right to decide if and when she's going to have a baby and the conditions under which she'll give birth, to decide if she doesn't want to have a baby and her options for preventing or ending a pregnancy, and then the right for her to parent the children that she already has with the necessary social supports and safe environments and healthy communities without fear of violence from individuals or the government. So that's anything from legislation that impacts families, especially poor and marginalized families, which for us is disproportionately families of color, low-income families, immigrant families, for example, rural families, and it could, you know, it can mean anything as it can vary to even anti-police violence, anti-blackness, a myriad of issues, but definitely those three principles is what reproductive justice definitely stands for. And I got into the work, oh gosh, going on almost 12 years ago, as a woman in the community who was in need of reproductive health care services, and I thought I was going to an abortion clinic, actually, and unfortunately found myself an hour and a half into the visit into a place that had kind of been posing as an abortion clinic to try to sway me from making that decision, and where Sister Reach, you know, is an organization that supports the reproductive choices of women wherever they are and whatever that is. I definitely got into the work to learn more about my body and to help women learn more about their bodies, so that when it comes down to sometimes those hard decisions like having an abortion, we can at least say that we've done everything that we, you know, what, you know, making sure that women have the access that they needed, done everything due diligence in order to understand our bodies, so that if that is an option, that is an option that we can make in an environment that is affirming, that we can make without, you know, stress or duress, and that it doesn't necessarily have to be always the same choice. You know, sometimes we need access to birth control. We need to be educated about our bodies, have access to contraception, something that's a bit bigger than, you know, just the kind of default that maybe even the, you know, other type of human rights frameworks promote. But for us, we definitely support the woman, the whole woman, and for her to definitely live her best life in a community that supports her and supports her family.
Wow. For those of you who may just be tuning in, I am Joyce Kyles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life, and this is another broadcast of Boots on the Ground Blog Talk Radio. We are here with Sharice Scott, who is the founder and Executive Director of Sister Reach. And Sharice, I just, you know, I'll share this with you privately, but I wanted to share publicly really quickly that one of the main reasons that I wanted to have you on the show is because I think people have a misconception about what reproductive justice actually is and what that looks like, and about the whole woman and having those options and being a woman of color myself, you know, not just having grown up with a certain mindset about things. And not understanding that you do have options, you do have rights, that there is a certain policy and procedure that should be followed and adhered to, and that we have the right to hold people accountable.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and that's with all of it. And I just never really knew that, understood it, and I just really became fascinated with the work that you do specifically because I've not ever seen anyone that looked like me, that sounded like me, who had an interest in it and was really looking out for the best interest of women, specifically with women of color. So if I am correct, then there is only one organization of your kind here in the state of Tennessee. Am I right, or has someone decided to piggyback since you started this?
No, we're still the only organization right now. We do have there is a new working group in Nashville that is specific to Asian and Pacific Islander women that is a volunteer coalition of the National Asian Women Pacific Forum. And so they use a reproductive justice lens to do their work. They, you know, NAPOF is a RJ organization, and this volunteer coalition of Asian and Pacific Islander women are really forming to do the very thing that we do more on an organizational level, which is to advocate for this, you know, for our base, the way that they would be advocating specifically for marginalized Asian or Pacific Islander women. So for now, yes, we are the only organization. But definitely, you know, when I think about reproductive justice and the depths of reproductive justice and what it means and how it intersects with so many different types of work, including the work that you do, Joyce, what we're very clear on is that we may be, you know, the only ones who are formally doing the work, but we are not the only ones who are actually doing reproductive justice work in the state of Tennessee. Definitely the work that you do absolutely fits within that framework, as it, you know, definitely centers the lives of women who have been abused and who are survivors. Right. and their families, and trying to, you know, live their best lives and thrive and survive in a community that really has not taken responsibility for the ways that it has oppressed marginalized people. Yet, you know, kind of always turns this kind of, you know, the back to, or acts as if it is surprised, you know, when these issues, that's right, when these issues are out of control, like domestic violence, like teen pregnancy, like sexual assault in our community. So reproductive justice is absolutely something that's been happening. And definitely when it comes down to Black women, it's always the ways that we have done our work, you know, back from, you know, the whole Ain't I a Woman piece to into this moment. You know, we Black women have been fighting for, you know, for visibility and for the centering of our stories and our lives and our experiences in this kind of grander scheme of human rights, this grander scheme of social justice, and definitely, you know, in what we think of as traditional feminism, we've definitely tried to have reproductive justice be a model for how we need to be thinking about supporting people's whole lives. And that definitely means not just dealing with one particular aspect of need that they may have, but dealing with the full gambit, the full range of issues that folks face on a day-to-day basis.
Absolutely, absolutely. Very well said. And that these do intersect with one another. What I do, what you
absolutely.
Do, and what so many of the individuals that we've had on the show prior, what they do. And,
sure.
and so that's why I'm real adamant about making sure that boots on the ground, while my specific focus is DV and sexual assault, I really want people to take away from these segments that they all intersect in some form
right.
or another, and the voices of everyone needs to be heard so that we can holistically help people to heal, to know that resources are available, that they aren't alone in what they do, that they do have rights, they do have options. So very, very well said. I want to switch gears just a bit to ask you, what have you found to be the most gratifying part of what you do? And then on the flip side, what have you found to be the most disheartening?
Definitely one of the most gratifying things is knowing that you have empowered a woman with, you know, the information and education that she needs in order to totally change the trajectory of her life. I had to make the decision of having an abortion more than one time because I did not understand my body. I wasn't always in a position where I was in total control of the pregnancy that I had. And so, you know, for me, the best thing was being empowered with the information and education in order to change my life and become pregnant when I want to become pregnant, not because somebody sabotaged some birth control or, you know, or something like that. And so for me, what's most gratifying is knowing that when I teach a woman how to chart her menstrual cycle, that she walks away from that education session with me far more in control of whether or not she's going to parent and being in control of when that's going to happen. And for many women, and especially Black and brown women, you know, one baby that is unplanned could mean the difference between poverty or being able to live a sustained life. And so, you know, we're not, you know, acting as if we are unaware of the ways in which having children also play a role in kind of unraveling us financially as a community, especially poor people, especially Black and brown people. So for me, that's been the most gratifying to educate a woman. As far as the most disheartening, definitely one of the most disheartening things is, you know, not having enough folks who look like me at the polls voting for legislation that will impact their lives, not only on an immediate level, but on a longer term level. We can get folks out to the polls all the time when it's time for a presidential election. But I'm talking about, you know, when we have more of those municipal level pieces like the city council or the mayoral
right,
race,
right.
When it's the governor's race, when it's, you know, the county commissioner race, people whose decisions impact our lives on a day-to-day basis, and then having to, you know, go back and forth in a conversation with somebody else, you know, who lives like me, loves like me, lives in my community, works as hard as I do, about why it is important to vote, with the legacy of resistance we've had and the fight that we've done as a people to have the right to vote. You know, it's definitely disheartening a lot of times to just activate people in the same communities that we're advocating for to get out there and vote, you know, on our own behalf, to really support our own power and build our power as a community, as a people who traditionally have been marginalized. But we've shown, even in the election and the re-election of President Obama, that when Black folks want to get out here and vote, when brown folks want to get out of here and vote, when low-income people and marginalized folks want to get out here and vote, we will. And so I want
That's
us
right.
to be as passionate about it when it's, you know, when it's not a presidential election. I want us to be as passionate about it, you know, when we're voting for how many potholes get filled or how many schools will be, you know, have funding. Even today, I was standing, I was in a press conference with Representative Hardaway, Senator Lee Harris, Stand for Children, and some of our other organizations in the city and parents around the, you know, the Shelby County Commission's, you know, I guess, slow moving in figuring out whether or not they're going to fund the public schools. You know, these are issues. These
right.
are, you know, these are people that we're voting in and out or not voting in and out because we're not showing up at the polls. And yet when our schools are impacted, when our children are impacted, then we're on the defense trying to scramble and figure out how we get justice when we could have already had it from the very beginning had we voted. So for me, that is one of the biggest, you know, disheartening pieces for my work, especially when I'm trying to work on behalf of folks who, you know, who can vote and who do have the power to change what's happening in their day-to-day lives.
And see, this is the reason why I really want – I may go back to the hour shows because
mm-hmm.
you are dropping such jewels and such great information, and these are the types of things that I really want the listeners to take away and
mm-hmm.
us to be able to continue the conversation and then move from that conversation to actual change and action. So having said that, one, I'm putting you on the spot because I want to have you come back on the show again at some point down the road,
sure.
if you will. Good.
Of course.
Okay. And then secondly, I would like for you to share with the audience about how to reach you and whether or not
mm-hmm.
you accept donations and volunteers.
Okay. Absolutely. Well, you can definitely reach us on our website. That's sisterreach.org, and that's sister, S-I-S-T-E-R, reach, R-E-A-C-H.org. There's a space on there. You can click the donate button, and it'll take you right into our donate platform, and you can pick and choose what you want to support. We have several types of things that folks can support. It can be, you know, our faith programming, our youth programming, our free HIV testing. There's so many different things that we have on our website, and we just got a new website. It's been being updated. It looks amazing, and just so excited to be able to offer, you know, as much new information to our base as possible. And then you can join to be on a particular partnership level and to help sustain our work. And we have a sustaining partner program going on right now as we're continuing to build our independent donors. And shout out to all of our independent donors who, who tirelessly and cheerfully give to our work. You know, this is money that does not come from a grant. These are people in our community and nationwide that know the type of work that we're doing and support the type of work that we're doing. So folks can go to sisterreach.org to donate. And what was the other piece, Joyce? Hello? It's for a hot second, but that's how folks can donate. And then if you want to volunteer, you can reach us at contactus@sisterreach.org, or you can click the Contact Us link on our website, put your information in, and you can reach out to us, and one of our staff will get back in touch with you for any information about or giving you information about all of our upcoming opportunities. Definitely, in talking about the voting, one of the big pieces that we have coming up is we're going to be doing canvassing, we're going to be doing phone banking, and as many folks as we can get who could volunteer with us to get to knock on doors and ask people, you know, what is it that they'd like to see, you know, in this next presidential election? What is it they'd like to see, you know, in our state legislature? Introducing you to Sister Reach, talking about some of our programs, and talking to folks to find out, you know, what are the things that are important to you is definitely what we'll be doing. If you want to help us do that work, we would love to have you be a part of that. We'll be rolling out some other programs that we're working specifically with young people, and also some of those opportunities will be within some of our church community partner and clergy partner settings, and we'd love to have folks be a part of that as well.
Okay, and what I'm going to also add to that is please make sure that you go to the website and get connected with the newsletter portion, because I received so many great emails from you, Sharice, about what you're doing and what's coming down the pike. Mm-hmm. It helps to stay informed. You all do an excellent, excellent job of keeping people informed and updated. So if you are not connected to Sister Reach and have not gotten on that email list, please make sure that mm-hmm. you do that. And, of course, we're going to share all of Sister Reach's information in our social networks as well, so that if you mm-hmm. happen to have missed any part of this segment, as I tell everyone each and every week, please go back and listen to the replays. The information is out there, and it's available. And once the show airs, then those replays are available forever, so you can go back and listen to as many portions, parts of it as you need to get what it is that you need. So we're getting down to our last couple of minutes of the show. Mm-hmm. What I'd like for you to do, Sharice, is to let our listening audience know about any upcoming events that you may have, mm-hmm. In addition to what you shared, if there's anything else that you thought of that you want to share. And then actually just give your final thoughts and any takeaways that you would want our listening audience to leave knowing about Sister Reach.
Absolutely. Well, I'm very excited about a panel discussion that we have coming up this Wednesday from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m., and it's going to be held at Leadership Memphis. That's in downtown Memphis. That's 365 South Main Street. Again, that's going to be at Leadership Memphis, and that's going to be Wednesday at 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. We have five dynamic black women leaders in our community who are going to be talking about how the laws across the nation and in Tennessee impact women and girls. We are going to be examining options for activism, what justice for poor and low-income people look like, as well as how women of color can assert their political power. So this is a great event that our policy associate Giovanni Dortch has put together, and we have some amazing folks on our panel, including the executive director of the Family Safety Center, Aliette Murray Drobeau. We have Betty Boone, who's the president of 100 Black Women here in Memphis. I mean, we just have an amazing panel, Tamika Greer with South Memphis Alliance. So, and this will be one of several conversations that we'll be having between now. Well, really, this is really going to be ongoing, but we'll definitely be having more of these conversations as we get closer to the election, because we just want to keep folks informed about the pieces of legislation that continuously impact us. And I'm talking about legislation that may or may not be reproductive health rights or justice centered, but, you know, are in intersectional pieces like the Fight for 15 campaign and, you know, pregnancy discrimination in the workplace, domestic violence, justice battles and wins that we've had thus far, what it looks like for Black women to show up at the polls. I mean, on and on and on. We'll be talking about several different topics over time. And then if you go to our website, again, that's sisterreach.org, and click on our calendar, you'll be able to find different events that we'll have coming up. We're going to be at the Saving Ourselves Symposium. I'll be moderating a panel, and our interfaith coordinator will be on that panel on Friday evening for the Saving Ourselves Symposium, and we'll be talking about the Black Church's commitment to the LGBT community. And then on Saturday, our communications and administrative assistant, Natalia Casanueva, will be facilitating a workshop at the symposium, specifically with masculine-presenting women of color, to do a fact-finding session to see what is it that masculine-presenting women of color in Memphis and the surrounding Shelby County area, what are some of those barriers that they face? What are some of the healthcare issues that they have? And what are some of the access needs that they also have that we want to be able to help women also be able to find and navigate here in our city? We don't want to discount any population of people, especially those who are in our LGBT community as well. So we've got a full plate of things coming up. And I have to say this because we're on here with you, Joyce, that we're going to be celebrating Joyce Kyles and about 20 other Black women in Memphis on June the 25th, and we'll have more information about that on our website coming shortly, about the work that they're doing in the community at the intersections of reproductive justice. I'm so glad that, Joyce, you're going to be one of our folks we're celebrating this year for the amazing work that you're doing in our community. So we've got a full plate, so we hope to see folks at one or all of these events.
Well, I am just honored. I appreciate you sharing that and sharing on air in this way. You definitely have a full plate, and I look forward to participating in as many of the events that you'll be hosting over the next few days, weeks, months. I plan to start with Wednesday, and I know several of the women that are participating, and I know them personally, so I know those. If you aren't familiar with those women, please make sure that you come out Wednesday night and get to know them and the work that they're doing. They are doing some dynamic work, so you have an excellent panel coming up Wednesday, so I'm looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to meeting the other women that are being honored with me. It is an honor to be recognized. And I do the work because I enjoy it, and I know that there's a need for it. But to be recognized for it is always, always, always a bonus. So thank you so much for that. Charisse, I am almost out of time. I will give you have a minute. Please share with our listening audience any last thoughts or takeaways that you have.
Sure. Last thoughts. Get engaged, get involved. We cannot expect for the communities that we live to become any better without our individual and collective involvement. It doesn't require a degree. It does not require a long history of experience and activism and social justice. It only requires your commitment. It only requires your passion to change your own lived condition and the conditions of your neighbors. And it is imperative that we do this for ourselves, for our communities, and for our families, because Superman's not coming. Nobody's coming to rescue any of us. And especially when it comes down to marginalized communities, it is imperative that I'm calling all mothers, especially single mothers and teen mothers, to get engaged and to get activated. And I know by my own personal experience that we are already overworked and overextended, but I am going to ask us to definitely think about the ways that we can engage in supporting our neighbor, even if it's just checking on somebody, making sure folks have something to eat, making sure folks get into the polls, make sure, you know, just do a check on folks. Just make sure that we're just continuing to be involved at the level that we can, and definitely it's gonna make a change happen. So thanks so much, Joyce, for having us on your show today.
Thank you so much, Cherie Scott, for being our very special guest. Thank you, as always, to our loyal listeners. We hope that we have said some things that have given you something to think about, to get involved in, that we've changed some misconceptions that may have been on the table. And most of all, we just want to say, you know, continue to spread the word, share the information with others, become involved, become active. I love hosting this show each and every week, and I want to thank each and every one of you for your continuous participation. I am Joyce Kiles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life. Thank you so much for joining us for another broadcast of Boots on the Ground. Thank you.